This episode is brought to you in part by Brewers Publications, whose mission is to publish books of enduring value for amateur and professional brewers. Whether you're looking to grow as a brewer, learn more about a particular beer style, or even start your own brewery, Brewers Publications has the right resource for you. Visit brewerspublications.com to browse their catalog of beer books. brewerspublications.com. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 30th, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I taste hop sampler number 10, featuring Saaz, Cashmere, and Green Bullet. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our brewing rainbow shirt. And hop on over to the newly designed basicbrewingshop.com for a great package deal on our DVDs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that that will help new listeners to find us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping out there, too. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff you can access if you sign up as a supporter. When Steve and I recorded this week's audio show, we also shot two video episodes, one with my latest Belgian Golden Ale and another with my Fest beer. Both were no-chill beers, and both were very tasty, if I do say so myself. And I'll be editing those episodes in the coming days, and financial supporters will get to see early releases and recipes, and upper-tier supporters on Patreon will get to see exclusive behind-the-scenes videos, too. In last week's episode, Gary Glass from the American Homebrewers Association and I talked about the recent homebrew legislation passed here in Arkansas. And Gary and I were wondering about whether the legislation would specifically address the issue of bringing homebrew to tap rooms and breweries and such for meetings and or competitions. Well, I heard from homebrewer Kent Thompson, who worked with Representative Deborah Ferguson to draft the legislation. Kent says, the reason that we left off the part about bringing homebrew to alcohol permitted facilities was that some of the representatives in dry counties were trying to make it so you could only bring homebrew to alcohol-permitted facilities, which would make homebrew club meetings illegal in dry counties, and club meetings could only occur at alcohol-permitted facilities. So it was actually the opposite problem that the AHA was worried about. So here you go. That's a little kink that we weren't thinking about. So I appreciate the clarification there, Kent. And again, I appreciate you and Representative Ferguson's work in getting the new law through. I also heard from another Central Arkansas homebrewer, Ken, who had some background on how the legislation got started. Ken says, it came about suddenly. At a beer meeting, it was discussed that there may not be a need for planning an October competition since they were stopping homebrew from leaving the home in Northwest Arkansas. Kent jumped out of his chair and said, let me see what I can do about that. 2 weeks later, a law passed the House and Senate. So it sounds like Kent is a man who knows how to get things done in a hurry. So very impressive. Hey, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave of High Gravity in Tulsa have a great deal for Dad. Now through Father's Day, you can buy a gift certificate and get a bonus. Buy a $50 gift certificate and get a bonus $5 certificate. Buy a $100 gift certificate and get a free $10 certificate. Or buy a $1,000 gift certificate and get an additional $100 gift certificate for free. So if Dad is a home brewer, he can load him up on gift certificates that he can use at High Gravity for electric brewing equipment that will take the pain out of propane, awesome High Gravity ingredient kits, or, you know, whatever his brewing heart desires. And if you're the homebrewing dad, drop some big hints that your family needs to get, you know, load you up on some gift certificates. Or if you're not a dad and you want to save some money yourself, go for it. The offer is valid on purchases of $50, $100, and $1,000 gift certificates. Online customers, be sure and select the bundled package before adding it to your cart. And that's now through Father's Day at highgravitybrew.com. Okay, Steve and I had a lot of fun with this hop sampler, and we added a bonus round at the end to test our taste buds even further. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be back.
This is our last show before the June break, and you and I, about a month from now, will be in Providence, Rhode Island at HomebrewCon.
We jet off to the East Coast.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. We've got some interviews that we're lining up with friends that we've had on the show before and some that maybe we haven't had on the show before. And the club night is always exciting.
I think it's going to be a great conference. I'm looking forward to it, too. And I wanted to extend an invitation. I had an email from a guy a day or two ago, and I haven't answered him yet, but I will. It was, you know, like yesterday. So I haven't had time to get back to him. But he's thinking of launching his own homebrew store. And he emailed me for a little bit of advice about how to do a store kind of like mine. Mm. So I was thinking about perhaps getting together with some folks that are at HomebrewCon that might be of the same mind. Mm. I don't pretend to know everything about how to do that, but at least I've done it. And we might figure out some way to get together with whoever might be thinking about doing something like that and just get together and, gosh, have a beer.
There's no beer there.
There's no beer. We'll have to have wine, God forbid. But, you know, just an idea. I mean, I don't have a time or anything. There's nothing formal about this. It's just, I sprung this on you, in fact.
A meetup.
A meetup at the new, where
a,
the hell are
a
we?
A flash meetup.
That's right. We'll do a flash mob.
We'll just run together and drink some beer.
Or that. But anyway, it was you know, I was thinking that that's the place to do that. And yeah. So I don't know if my new buddy in Idaho is going to be there or not, but I'll email him tomorrow.
Well, if he's interested in that thing, you know, there is a track or whatever for homebrew store owners.
That's right.
You know, with sessions and panels and things like that that are exclusively for them.
That's right.
So, you know, if you are interested in getting in the business, I don't think you necessarily have to be in the business, although I don't know for sure, but it would seem like to me that you could buy a ticket and sit around and find a whole bunch of folks like that way, too.
In fact, that's one of the things I highly recommend to people that want to start their own homebrew store or become a professional brewer. Mm. Either way, you know, there are a lot of things you need to think about, and having gone through that crucible, you know, it's there's a lot more to it than just, gee, I think I want to own a brewery, or gee, I think I want to own a retail shop.
Do any home brewers coming into your shop have aspirations to go pro?
Only every other one. Pretty much as soon as they move from extract kits to all grain.
I could do this for a living.
By about the third batch, we're ready to open a brewery.
That was a softball question. I knew what the answer was.
Actually, that's okay. I mean, you know, I mean, that's, I'm sure that's what Sam did. And
well, yeah.
Everybody else, I mean, you know.
Doggone it, you know, go for it.
Go for it.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right, enough of that. We digress.
We're not even started, and we're on a tangent. Yep. Okay, here we are at hop sampler number 10. Can you believe it?
No. It's like when we started the podcast. We thought we would have 12 episodes. Remember
most,
that?
Yeah.
At the most.
We're running out of things to talk about.
Well, we're going
to
run out of hops in a while.
Well, okay. So here we are. Hop sampler number 10. We are featuring Saz or Sots or Zots or Saz. Or however you want to pronounce it.
Put a Saz on that.
Cashmere.
Even if you get a bird.
Or a poultice.
Yeah.
Cashmere and Green Bullet.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar, this is the 10th hop sampler. So if you're a fan of the show, you should be familiar by now. But what I do is I take 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract, and I put it into 3 quarts of water that I have brought up to about 140 degrees Fahrenheit just to warm it up so that the extract will dissolve properly. Then I bring that mixture up just to the boil, about 208 degrees Fahrenheit or just under 100 C, just so that it starts to bubble. And then I shut off the heat and I add the prescribed amount of hops for 30 minutes after I take it off the heat. Then I chill it in an ice bath, and then I put it in a one-gallon jug, and I pitch 3 grams of Safael US05 into each of these. So that's the recipe, and people are emailing me saying, I've tried the hop sampler recipe. I love it! And some are saying, I've tried the hop sampler recipe, but here's my twist on it. And so there's some interesting suggestions that are coming in that, you know, we might want to follow in later episodes. But they do make this recipe... It's super simple, but it does make really delicious little beers.
Well, it proves a couple of things. It proves that simple recipes can be very good, and it proves that DME can be very good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and these are, you know, all three of these beers and almost every one of the other beers that we've made, really, they're really quaffable, nice beers. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind paying for a beer like this. Okay, which I did, but well, from stevesbrewshop.com in the raw form.
But you got a discount.
Now, the head retention issue is solved. We have to say that first of all.
Definitely is.
I tried a couple of approaches. One thing is that I switched from the powdered Cascade automatic dishwasher detergent, which I was probably using way too much of in this 1 gallon jug, and I switched to PBW from your shop, powdered brewery wash, and also I've been letting these bottle condition for about a week longer than usual, so that you know, some carbonation can be built up. But in addition to the carbonation, you can tell that in these cups the head is still sitting on top. It's not completely disappearing as it was. So I think that it has more to do with the detergent and not the bottle conditioning. So that's a big relief.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. The Cascade way of cleaning things certainly works. It's certainly clean, but there's a reason why PBW exists, and it's meant for dairy and brewing industry, and it keeps things clean, and it hasn't got any residual soap left on there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. So into each of these beers, I used into that 3-quart mixture with the 1 pound of DME. For the sots, I'm going to say sots, just because. It's a compromise between Saz and Zots.
Zots.
I refuse to say Zots. Unless a German-speaking person,
right,
or Czechoslovakian tells me that it's Zots. Anyway. Now I'm going to get an email with a sound file from, okay. I used a whole ounce or 28 grams of Saz at 3.2% alpha acid. I used half an ounce or 14 grams of Cashmere at 8.5% alpha acid and 9 grams of Green Bullet at 12.6% alpha acid. So in my rough estimation, the bitterness from these should be similar.
Right.
So what we do is we have put duct tape over the caps of these beers so we don't know what we're tasting.
Right.
We got them labeled 1, 2, and 3, so we will taste them in order, and we will, between the tastings, we will talk about, we will have a description of the hops, and then we have a bonus round that we haven't tried before, which we, I'm really nervous about. Which may be cut out. I don't know.
We'll see.
Okay. And thank you for, you've been away from the podcast for a while because you've had some bronchitis and you sound better. You still sound a little impaired, but lung-wise, but I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and I am definitely feeling better. But boy, you're right. It was rough. I mean, I've never had laryngitis in my life before. And of course, people would come in the store and then run away from me.
Because like, you're patient zero.
Yeah, I know. They'd be like, why are sales down so bad? Oh. why did my friend leave so fast?
There's that biohazard sign. Yeah. Somebody's stuck on the front door.
Well, I changed the name to Chernobyl. And it hasn't worked, though.
That 12 monkeys graffiti outside didn't
That's
help
right.
either. Okay, All so right. let's sample, let's taste sample Number one.
Number one.
Cheers, by the way.
Cheers. Clink.
Tap. And my wife, Susan, is quietly sitting here monitoring the weather situation in other parts of the country.
Okay. That says it all.
Do you have any descriptors?
It's soft. The hop backbone is there, but there's not... It is fruity a little bit, but it's not big and juicy, which is also a Wendy's hamburger. But it's just kind of a nice, quiet, pale ale, kind of old school tasting to me, meaning it's not, again, there's not a big juice bomb.
Now I'm gonna be contrary.
That's okay.
I'm gonna put a descriptor in your head. I taste strawberry.
Well,
if you don't, that's fine.
I mean,
but to me, I taste a berry flavor, and I think it tastes. It's not like boom in your face strawberry, but I get a hint of strawberry.
Yeah, it's no Berry White. Yeah, well, sorry, that's the wrong kind. It's no Berry White coming at you, but there's some. Yeah, I could go with that. Kind of, I'm like a teenager again. My voice is changing.
You're gonna be like Peter Brady, and you'll be out in the driveway in the station wagon. Alice is gonna come after you with a baseball bat.
No, I'm gonna be like Henry Aldridge. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my God! From theater, the theater thing. Henry. It was a radio show, and he'd be upstairs like, coming, mother.
Finally, you have a reference that's too old even for me.
Oh, what's the name of that? It was in the 60s and 70s.
Susan's making a face, too. I don't know. People are Googling.
Sorry. People will Google.
Yeah, all right. I think it's really good. My impression is strawberry. Strawberry.
Well, I can go with that. I would agree with you that it has kind of a soft fruit character. It's not... none of these beers are bitter. None of them come at you with that kind of back of the throat bitterness, but I think that the hop flavor is less pronounced in this beer than in the other two. So I'm making a judgment with all three, but yeah, I would agree with you that there's some soft ripe berry flavor in there. Okay. Yeah.
Shall we read the all three of the hop descriptors come from hopslist.com?
Yes.
So shall we read the first of the three?
I'll do this. Without my voice cracking.
I could take over. If it hurts your voice, I could read
it. It didn't hurt. I just sound weird. Sots. Shaky, doctor. Officially registered in 1952, the original Sots, or Czech Sots, as it is sometimes known, has established itself as a staple variety for brewers and dates back more than 700 years.
Goodness.
Originating in Zatec, Bohemia. You know, I took one of those this morning. That's why I'm so much better. Took a Zatec, and now I'm all right. It's generic now. Now part of the Czech Republic, it is an esteemed red vine variety that is now grown around the world. New Zealand, I'm having trouble reading. New Zealand in particular has embraced Sots, breeding several descendants, including the popular Matoika and Riwaka, that's R-I-W-A-K-A, I don't know how to pronounce it, Riwaka varieties, B&D Zots, you know, this is a family show, respectively. Sots is one of the four original noble hops and has a distinct and classic aroma known for its prominent use in Stella Artois. Oh, I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
In Stella, and countless Bohemian lagers and pilsners. Its warm, herbal character stems from a high level of I'm never going to try that one.
Okay, which one? Where is it? That's also what you're taking for a different subject. What is it? Where is it? Farnesene.
Thanks. Excuse me.
Fabersham.
Well, its other oils are in fair balance.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a description of Sots.
Does it give flavor to it just like...
I always think of Satz as being kind of soft and herbal. Mm-hmm. It's like a really, really soft little Ricola. You know, it's just like really, you know, it's never, ever wrong. Satz is my favorite hop.
Yeah.
I mean, by far.
Good, great for lagers.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of classic hops. Okay.
Yes, one of the four original noble hops. It's like Ravenclaw.
Gryffindor.
It could be the Hufflepuff of hops. It's just never in your face. You know, I mean, Gryffindor would be like Citra. You know I'm right.
What would be Slytherin?
Oh, it'd be Simcoe. It's like cat piss. I mean, you know, oh, you got some Slytherin in there.
Ooh, I'm sweating. Okay.
All right.
So that's tasting number two.
Tasting number two. Look at McMahon all of a sudden. I like that.
Well,
that's a little bit sweet. Mm-hmm. The beer seems a little sweeter. It's nicely balanced. Better balance than the first beer, I think.
But still fruity.
Yeah, it's extremely fruity. It's like Charles Nelson Reilly.
Hello.
Hello. No, it's. I like that quite a lot.
Wow.
I definitely get soft, ripe fruit from that. Peach, perhaps. Not quite as strong as apricot, but kind of a soft peach flavor, kind of a soft stone fruit flavor. Not cherry. Don't even go there with cherry. But strawberry and peaches and maybe even a little bit of like chamomile. If you ever drink chamomile tea, it kind of reminds me of that.
I'm getting a little blueberry, too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Is that my imagination? I think our palates are on different wavelengths tonight. Usually we're on kind of the same.
Well, I can go with a little blue. It's just that kind of soft, ripe fruit.
Yeah.
So however you interpret that.
Yeah. Ooh. That's nice. Tasty.
That's a good beer.
I usually don't go back to the first, but. Okay, number one is more bright.
It's a little more bitter and a little more astringent.
Yeah.
Just ever so slightly. It's still very good, but it's got a little bit of an astringency that number two does not have.
Right. Yeah. Number two is softer. You're right. More ripe fruit. Number one has that bright character. It's still fruity, but I still go with strawberry. You think, you know, how strawberry mm-hmm. has kind of a tartness going on?
Yeah.
As compared to the second one, which is more of a dark fruit character. All right. Shall we go on to our... Anything else to say about beer number two, tasting-wise?
Negative.
Okay.
All right.
What's our second hop descriptor?
Cashmere.
I got a little something on my tongue. Maybe that's what that is.
Well, cashmere. Is it warm?
I don't know.
Okay. Developed by Washington State University and released in 2013, cashmere is the result of a marriage of Cascade and Northern Brewer. Fortunately, it features alpha acids higher than that of Cascade. Oh, fortuitously. I guess they mean about the same thing. But yeah. It features alpha acids higher than Cascade. So what does that mean? That you can just bitter with it a little bit easier?
Yeah, you can use it as a bittering hop.
Well.
I guess.
Yeah.
Save some money.
Well, it says a good dual-purpose hop, which makes sense. Cashmere showcases flavors... Start that sentence again. Cashmere showcases flavors. Oh, that's not my fault. That's how it's written. Wait, I can't read this. Who wrote this? We'll do it live. Cashmere showcases flavors of lemon, lime, and melon.
Huh.
Exhibits a smooth bitterness and is mildly aromatic with a subtle herbal bouquet.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Because we've only had two of them now.
That's right.
But,
See, but we run into this every time. It's like, this beer, well, and we try to match the tastings with the characteristics that's written on the page.
Right.
And we might not.
No, and sometimes I think that they're written by 1,000 monkeys, you know, with a typewriter and a pack of camels.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Let's move on.
Lime.
Hmm. Yeah. I thought you put the lime in the coconut.
Okay. Tasting beer number 3.
Hmm. Nice. Not as interesting. Mm-mm. It's the least interesting of the 3 beers. But I wouldn't have said that when you first poured it. So I wonder if there's... Because when we first sipped these before we were on the air, I really liked number 3. And now that it's warmed up some, it seems to have gone, dare I say it, flaccid. It's just kind of flabby.
Well, my first impression of number 3 when we first tasted was, okay, this is the most traditional of the 3.
All right, I go with that. But I really liked number 3 a lot when we first tried it.
Of course, these were colder and, you know, less flat when we started.
Well, they're not flat. They're not flat as in carbonation, but definitely number 3 has lost a little of its luster in the last 20 minutes, in my opinion.
But it's still tasty.
Sure.
I'd drink a full pint of that. But it's more of a kind of normal beer to me.
I agree.
Dare I say, kind of old worldy. To reveal which way I'm leaning on that one.
Old Joanne Worley.
Oh, hello.
Is that a fat joke?
Oh.
So.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, it is the least interesting of the 3 beers to me at the moment. But it does have a nice... Actually, it's not bad.
No.
I mean, it's really not. It's kind of... It's a little one-dimensional. And I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. There's just not a whole lot of going on as far as, like, you know, tons of fruit jumping out at you or whatever. But it is tasty. I mean, it's nicely balanced, and it's a nice, easy drinking beer. It's just not new world. You know, it's not, you know, right. What I mean? It's not like fun and super juicy, hoppy, whatever.
I hope this means I don't have to give up on my favorite hops.
No, there's a purpose for everything.
I know.
Everything in its place. Okay.
All right.
Speaking of the third hop descriptor is...
Oh, yes. Green Bullet.
I have his decoder ring.
Yes. And Green Bullet is a New Zealand hop variety, one of the first generation of new crosses attempted when Black Root Bot was a character in Westworld. Black Root Rot descended on New Zealand. Whew, that sounds like an Avengers film. Hops in 1949.
Wow.
Ooh. bred from Fuggle and an unspecified native parent. So it's kind of, you know.
Slow down.
It's kind of a Jon Snow.
Oh. Oh.
That could be the rightful heir.
Spoiler alert.
It has a special zing. I love it. It has a special zing. That has become, I gotta take my glasses off. That has become New Zealand's stock and trade. Yeah, like a meat patsy. It's a dual use hop with high alpha acids, yet it has smooth taste and aroma of raisins and fruits.
Oh, huh.
All right.
Mm.
Possibly due to its high myrcene content.
Yay.
Well, now I'm all confused. Because I thought I knew what these hops were.
Oh.
I really did. When we first started, I thought, bing, bada bing, bada boom, I know exactly what's what. And now I'm completely confused.
It's a special zing.
It's got a special zing.
That's what threw you off. Oh, the special zing.
Really, I did. I thought I knew exactly which was which when we started the show. And now here we are about a half an hour later, and I haven't got a clue. I'll still take my guess.
Okay, here's me. I'm going to go for it.
Okay.
I'm going to say... Dang it. I'm going to say one is cashmere, because it had the lime descriptor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a little more of a zing. It's fruity, but it has a little zing. Number two, it has the New Zealand zing. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, woo, that's a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
And this is a fruit salad. So I'm going to say number two is Green Bullet. And I'm going to say three is Sots. I love brewing with Sots. How do you say it? But it's just not as crazy and wacky and, you know. It's a good standby, but it's noble. It's nice and respectful and noble. That's my guess.
And you know what? I'm going to agree with you.
Mm.
Well, I don't think we've ever done this before. Have we?
We do it a lot.
We agree. But on each one of the three. So we're either going to be completely right or...
Okay.
Wherever we are, we're going to be
right.
What we are.
Right. Number one, we said, was cashmere then.
It's Sots.
Dang it.
Oh, shoot.
And I know it doesn't mean anything, but when we first started this, I thought that was Sots.
Why didn't you say something?
Because I agreed with you when they got warmed up.
Oh.
Number two is cashmere.
Dadgummit, we got none right.
We didn't get any right.
Again.
So number three is Green Bullet. Wow, we didn't get any right.
Wow.
So what have we learned from this? that we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
No, I think what we learned is that I never do a late charge of Sots.
Mm-hmm.
I use it a lot, but I always use it as the bittering hop, and then I throw some at the just a little bit at the end of the boil because I'm doing like, you know, traditional German beers. And so those are not appropriate to load up
right
with a late hop charge or do a hop stand or whatever. So now we've learned that Sots has some really interesting stuff going on.
Yeah. Wow. For sure.
At least in this situation with these beers and whatever.
I really, really thought that the Green Bullet was going to be number two.
And these are in order.
I wasn't too sure about...
These are in order of the... you read the descriptors.
Yeah.
These, just by complete randomness, these fell in order of the descriptors. That's weird.
Well, there you go. Now let's see.
Do you after failing completely at this...
Well, I feel a little silly. I thought for sure I could pick these out. And when they were fresh and right out of the bottle, I might have said something different, but you can't go back.
Okay.
Okay.
So here we go. We for the first ever, first time ever, we're going to go to a bonus round.
The lightning round.
I can't. Hit me. Lay out two cups there. Which do you put? Susan, say one, two, or three.
Two.
All right. Now, we have another. I had a second set of these beers. One of each, similarly disguised with a piece of duct tape on the top of it. And our challenge now is to taste this new beer and match it up, try to figure out which one it is. So this is a test of our taste buds. Cheers.
Cheers.
Maybe cut out.
Oh, darn.
This is hard.
Because this is really good.
Well, it's full of carbonation.
Yeah, one thing. It's a little bit different.
And it's been in the glass bottle, so it's a little colder.
Oh, shoot. I don't have a clue.
Hmm.
I'm not going to look. I'm just priming it.
Okay. So what we're going to do is a show of fingers.
Okay.
And all at once, it's going to be like Rochambeau or whatever you call it. Only we're going to do one, two, or three. Which one we think it is.
Okay.
Okay, ready? One. On three, we'll show our fingers.
Okay.
One, two, three. Oh, wait, you didn't wait, do wait, it. Wait,
no, no, no. I didn't look. I swear. I thought I was doing rock, paper, scissors.
You're supposed to be a drummer.
But I didn't know if I wanted to do paper covers rock. Okay, but I didn't see what you did.
That's Rochambeau.
Okay. One more time.
Okay, you have to go one, two, three, okay. And on three, you show the number of fingers that you think it is.
Okay,
one, two, three. Oh, you said one.
I said it's Sots.
I said three. I said it's
Green Bullet.
Green Bullet.
Okay.
Which
would be Cashmere.
It's going to be Cashmere. We're going to be stupid.
It's Sots.
Oh, you did it! High five. Wow. Okay, so now we have to compare the original sample with...
The colder, more carbonated sample is much better.
And it tastes different.
Completely different.
Huh. Wow.
Huh. Well, there you go.
I don't know what that proves.
It proves
it proves that when beer warms up and it gets a little flatter, it tastes different, for one thing.
Yep. Wow. Well, it's just, you know, everything is a learning experience.
Yeah. These were all three really good beers, yep. I thought they were very enjoyable for different reasons, mm-hmm. And we did taste them. The samples that we tasted were warmer and flatter than just a normal tasting.
Yes.
You wouldn't sit at a bar long enough for your beer to get this warm and this flat in normal conditions, I don't think. That's what she says. So, so I think it is... I'm happy because these were all three good beers, and it's surprising that I thought that the Sots mm-hmm. was going to be extremely different from the other two and would be easily picked out. Turns out no.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
There you go. Thank you to Dog Wrangler Susan. Say hi, Susan.
Hello.
Neither of our dogs speak on command, although they... The one barks all the time without us asking. So anyway, everybody, thanks for sticking with us. I hope this was useful to you, or at least entertaining. And I hope that y'all have a good June. We are going mm-hmm. to be doing things like, going to be going and we're going to be traveling up to see our son graduate from college.
Nice.
And we're going to go to HomebrewCon, and one of us is going to have a birthday, and one of us is going to have a wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. So, June is always busy, and so...
Well, she's got the beaver to look after.
Oh, Ward!
Okay, time to go.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve of stevesbrewshop.com. As we said, we're taking off from posting audio shows in June, but do look for a couple of video shows. And I hope you all have a great month. And I hope to see you in Providence at HomebrewCon. Till then, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say hi to you, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on Basic Brewing. And don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voice, and we'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.